We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, still not much going on with the Bulls, but the finals are trending toward their conclusion. The Denver Nuggets go up 2-1 with a decisive victory in Game 3 over the Miami Heat. Twin triple-doubles for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, who were just incredible. Some great Christian Brown minutes off the bench. And as that series plays out, finishes up, you have the NBA draft coming up at the end of June. The Bulls do not have a pick in that.
2 weeks from today.
Exciting stuff. Will be interesting to see, you know, do the Bulls try to get in the draft, buy a pick at some point, trade for a pick at some point? They certainly could use a young, cost-controlled talent on the roster, but doesn't make much sense for us to talk about the draft, given that the Bulls currently don't have a pick. And then we'll have free agency. Free agency will start on June 30th when teams can begin agreeing to deals. I believe those deals cannot become official until July 6th. The big one for the Bulls is Nikola Vucevic. Reportedly, they have already begun discussions with him on a contract extension, potentially in the ballpark of 3 years. Jace, it's something we've been talking about the whole season. What are they going to do with Vooch? What are they going to do with this team? And while there haven't been too many rumors besides for Vooch lately, it's setting up, I think, for another disappointing offseason just based on reading some of the tea leaves around the team right now.
Yeah, we look at some of look at the roster right now. Let's just, I guess, looking at the salary cap table here. Obviously, you got Zach at $40 million for next year. DeMar, 28.6. Obviously, got Lonzo's $20 million. Patrick Williams, Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond, who a bit of news, Bulls news, is Andre Drummond recently went on, I believe it was the I Am an Athlete podcast, and said that he plans on opting in. That is $3.36 million. And I believe shortly after that, I can't remember where exactly it was reported or it said, but it sounds like Derek Jones Jr. also plans on opting in to that same exact $3.36 million. So that's two more guys there planning on opting in. Obviously, that I believe the Bulls can still like trade these guys if they really wanted to, but not sure what you'd really get for them. But and then you got Dalen Terry under contract. He's going to year two, did not play much in year one. I know so a lot of people after Christian Braun in my head when I see it. It's Christian Braun from Kansas, had this huge game with Denver, and he went, three picks after Dalen Terry? Is that right? I know a lot of people last night were harping on that and how the Bulls made a mistake taking Dalen Terry. Dalen Terry's a young player. I know he barely played. It's easy to say that kind of stuff now. It is strange that the Bulls took a very raw prospect who couldn't shoot. But that seems to be their MO, considering they did the same thing with Patrick Williams. Very similar kind of, obviously different players, but similar profile in terms of raw, can't shoot, but like toolsy. We'll see about Dale and Terry. He's just a rookie. A lot of time left that. I want to say that's a failed pick, but I know just seeing that, what happened last night with Christian Brown scoring, what, 15 points, 7 of 8 shooting, whatever he had. A great game in the finals on a big stage like that, and Dale and Terry didn't feel like he scored 15 points all season. We'll see. Maybe he'll take a leap in year two. And then we got Carlick Jones and Marko Simonovic on non-guaranteed deals. Carlick Jones did some, I think, was he like G League MVP? I feel like he won something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but he like a really nice year in the G. Yeah, in the G League. You wonder if they give him a shot. I don't know. And then Marco, we've obviously talked about. We don't want him back. But and then we got Vooch. We got Kobe as key free agents. Javonte Green's also a free agent. Io's a free agent. We have Justin Lewis, who's towards ACL, who could who's on what? Was he on a two-way deal, I think? I'm sure they'd like to see him back. And then obviously, and of course, Patrick Beverley also a free agent. But I mean, the way things are trending, it does seem like they want to bring back Vooch. We'll see if that happens. If that's 3 years, I would hope that third year is a whatever non-guarantee team option, partial guarantee, something like that. I don't want to give him, like I said, I wouldn't give him that much more than I know Matt Friendly Bulls blogger has said, like no more than the MLE. And I think like that's where the Bulls should probably start negotiations. I bet Vooch isn't going for that, but I'm sure he'd want something around 18 to 20 million per year. I know the tough thing is whatever you, if you let him walk, you can't just necessarily replace him, because then the Bulls only have the mid-level. There's the bird rights trap thing that Steph No wrote a big thing about Vooch over at Sporting News. Good read through that, just about the whole situation and with Vooch there. I'm hesitant to give Vooch a lot of money. I'm hesitant to single out of money on these veteran guys with this core. But it does seem like they want, at least they're talking about bringing it back. Kobe, we'll also see about him. I know John Hollinger kind of put out like a free agency value board today at The Athletic. Had Kobe, I think like it was like 15 to 18 million around there. I think his valuation added like 18 million, but projected more than 15 million. But if you bring back Kobe at that number, you bring back Vooch too, and whatever, you kind of have all these other guys, you're kind of looking at your full rotation being the same thing from last year. But then you're also over the, you're going to be pushing up the, against the luxury tax. So are they willing to whatever, use the mid-level to, and go into the tax? History says no, but like if they are going to whatever, if they believe in this core and whatever, they're going to bring back all these guys, they have to spend at least something to try to get some help and change the roster a little bit. They cannot go into the next season with the same rotation, like the same main rotation. They just can't do it. And like Casey Johnson at NBC Sports Chicago today wrote like, well, what if the Bulls run it back? Like, how are they going to get better? And it was like, Pat gets better. Kobe like takes the starting point guards by the horns. And then I can't remember what the third one was. I have to read that. But it was basically the same thing as last year. Pat gets better. The point guard situation, someone steps up, one of the young guys steps up, and then whatever you hope for. The third one was basically the big three play better together and like play better offensively. And it's like, if you're going to bring the whole roster back, like I feel like it's hard. I think it's kind of underrated how this past season, how all three of those guys did have really good individual seasons and they stayed very healthy. Can we expect that again? They barely missed any time. They all did shoot really well efficiency wise, but just the team around them was not constructed well. And just as a group, they just did not perform that well as a team overall. The super mid, called them the mid three, whatever. So it's like, you just can't do the same thing. And if they are going to bring all three guys back, they have to, we talked about it with Steph No on our last pod, like they have to cycle in some new guys on the roster. But like if Drummond is back and like Derrick Jones Jr. is back and all these other guys are basically back, like what's going to be different about this team? So it's, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Again, I think whatever, even if Drummond and Jones opt in, I think they could trade if they do want to cycle out. And I feel like this is a situation where like I both those guys in a vacuum, solid players, like Drummond on the, just above the minimum is a pretty good value given what he is as a backup center. Derrick Jones Jr. on just above the minimum, nice energy guy. Again, it's the problem, as we've talked about, is just there's just so many of these guys on the roster that are energy, non-shooting guys. And we know they just need to add more shooting on this roster, especially we've seen the Miami Heat. I know Jimmy and Bam are obviously on a different level, but like using variance and that shooting variance to kind of make up for any of the other flaws they have. And the Bulls can't do that. And when their big three isn't good enough either, that just means like there's just like not much upside there to make any type of deep playoff run, even with some talent there. So it's like, how are they going to change this roster is a big question right now. And a lot of it seems to be trending towards they're not really going to do that much to change it, especially if they're not willing to spend. So yeah, Ricky, what the hell are they going to do?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the health point, Jason, because last year, Vooch, 82 games played. Patrick Williams, 82 games played. Zach LaVine, 77 games played. DeMar DeRozan, 74. And even Caruso, who felt like he was in and out of the lineup, he played 67, which is probably about as many as you can reasonably expect Caruso to play, as he turns 29 this season, I believe. So, yeah, Will Gottlieb had a good tweet about the Bulls cap situation. And essentially, the team is capped out just by bringing everyone back. Now, we've gone over the cap situation here a couple times. I was under the impression that they would still be able to use about, $8 million of their mid-level exception before they hit the luxury tax to add a free agent this year. So we'll see like exactly how those numbers shake out. Yeah. It's mostly going to be determined by, what Vooch gets an extension, gets an extension.
Yep.
But the only way out of this for the Bulls is to make trades. And I think last year they couldn't trade Jones because he had this player option at the end of it. Does that sound right to you, Jason?
I know like when guys sign like the one and ones, I believe they have like a veto, I think, over trades. I don't know if it's they can't trade them. I think it's just like the player can veto it if possible. I'm like I said, I'm not totally well-versed in some of these CBA rules. And there's all these new CBA rules coming too that seem to be just very anti-player. I know a lot of people have been ripping the Players Association for like all these rules, like the hard cap stuff and the second apron stuff that's coming. Again, I don't know if we really have to worry about ourselves with the Bulls about that because they don't ever come close to getting salary that high, but there's going to be some new stuff to learn. But yeah, in terms of that specifically, I am not totally sure if that was it, but I'm almost positive that even if those guys opt in, they can be traded now.
Okay, well, point is, they got to trade some of these guys.
Yeah, like, right. They got to cycle in some new guys.
There's no reason why they should bring back the exact same roster. The team very obviously is a critical flaw in terms of volume shooting around DeRozan, LaVine, and Vucevic. So if it means you got to let go of Vooch to even have a little bit of wiggle room to sign a shooter, if it means you got to trade Vooch to try to get a shooter, even though you won't have a center, I think that if they're going to keep DeRozan and LaVine together, they just need to surround them with shooting. And it's a very simple, obvious strategy that the team has chosen to completely ignore. And they're not going to have the salary cap flexibility to, change that in free agency. So I think it's got to be done by trades. Karnišovas has shown some creativity in trades before. Remember, he was able to add Lonzo, able to add Caruso and DeRozan while being over the cap. Now, the price of that was, trading a 2025 first-round pick to get DeMar when he was a free agent. That was just an absolutely horrendous move. Acquiring DeMar was wonderful. But the fact that they could not figure out how to get him without giving up another first-round pick, I mean, really is just about a fireable offense when you combine it with the Vooch trade for AK. And, what really bums me out, though, Jace, is I think that the Bulls believe they're not far away.
Yeah.
Because they only aspire to make the playoffs. And I think they would have given themselves a huge pat on the back if they could have gotten into the postseason this year. They were right there with the Heat in crunch time of the play-in tournament game. The fact that the Heat have gone on this great run to the NBA Finals probably hints to the Bulls that they're not far away from potentially making some noise with this core. But like you said, they're going to, like, just to give themselves a chance, they would really need to add volume shooting.
Yeah.
And they can't really do it in free agency. So they have to make trades. It has to be on Karnišovas to recognize that what he's built hasn't worked, that his plan to build this team and to just let them grow and think they'll get better year over year together, well, that plan isn't good enough because we've already seen them regress. We've already seen them lose a key piece in Lonzo, who's going to miss his third consecutive season. I mean, give me a fucking break with that type of injury. So, you know, what his original plan, he needs to alter it. And continuity is not good enough. We saw this year the continuity wasn't good enough. If they go the continuity route again, it is again not going to be good enough. And I'll tell you what's going to happen next year, Jace. The Bulls may start out the year looking a little bit better. The Bulls may get some hotter shooting or find a way to win some of these games early. But I find it very unlikely that Vooch, LaVine, and DeRozan are all going to be as durable as they were last year. I find it very unlikely that Vooch is going to be able to replicate his shooting percentages from last year. He's pointed out in this podcast numerous times.
An outlier.
He was really on fire from like as a mid-range shooter, was better as a three-point shooter. That type of stuff tends to happen in a contract year, Jason, and I'm not willing to bet that it's going to happen again. And the thing I just keep coming back to is like, is this time to trade Zach? Because 28 turns 29 during the year, locked into contract certainty during a time when, you know, players like Jaylen Brown, a lot of other guys who are going to be approaching free agency in the next couple of years, like their contracts can be kind of scary with the way the cap is rising. And they, if they sign max extensions, they're going to get huge max extensions.
Yeah.
And given how wide open the league is, there's probably a lot of teams that can talk themselves into, okay, if we get Zach LaVine, maybe we can make a serious push to try to get in the finals. Miami's not that good. You look at the West. Who are you really scared of in the West? Denver. But then after Denver, I mean, obviously the Grizzlies have some major problems. Question marks hanging over them. The Lakers went to the conference finals, but they're old. They're not improving, it doesn't seem like, unless they add a major talent.
See what the Suns do.
The Suns have a lot of question marks, too, obviously. Like, they have huge health concerns as well. So, yeah, man. I mean, we've been talking about it. It just seems like we're just talking in circles. But, you know, how would you feel about a Zach trade? What's your overall take on a Zach trade? What would you be looking for in a Zach trade? And is this even a pointless discussion because there's no chance it happens?
So, yeah, so first of all, to even lead into this, I'm going to go back to the Heat here. And I mentioned this in a this will lead into the Zach trade, like blowing it up and whatever you want to call it. I mentioned this in a Twitter group DM here. And just like watching the Heat and like how whatever, the Bulls almost beat them. They had them on the ropes. And now they're in the finals. And it does kind of feel like the Bulls probably, from based on what AK has said, based on what the team is like, whatever, his vision or whatever, it's they kind of want to be with the Heat were like whatever before they got Jimmy. The Heat, like, they refused to like straight up tank. They tried to like stay in the middle, and then they figured they would use the Miami selling point and they'd end up getting another star. They did. They got whatever. The Sixers were stupid. They did not want to trade Jimmy or pay Jimmy that full whatever 5-year max. Dwayne Wade apparently, we hear about it every fucking day now. When Dwayne Wade was in Chicago, told Jimmy that he needed to go Miami at some point. Dwayne Wade, double agent, you motherfucker. Jimmy gets asked about it like every day now. It's really annoying. But so Jimmy goes to Miami, and they basically turned that he were dead. I mean, if you don't remember it, in like 2015, 2016, like that team was so mid, had a bunch of bad, like just mediocre contracts. And then Jimmy bails them out. They draft Bam, and Bam becomes an all-star level defensive player of their caliber. And then they, whatever, add all the shooting around them. You have a great coach, Eric Spoelstra. It seems like the Bulls are like hoping to just whatever, stay mid enough, stay kind of where they're at, and then hopefully they could look into a star. It's not the worst plan in the world. Again, tanking isn't always the answer. I'm not a big fan of tanking. I understand the idea of building a team, whatever, that is at least competitive. And then if you do get the right breaks, you can turn that into a championship contender, which the Heat have been. They've made the finals twice. They were a shot away from a third finals. Even if they haven't won one with Jimmy, they have basically been a championship contender for his time there. Of course, the problem is the Bulls don't have anybody as good as Jimmy is. They're two of their main core guys are aging. The Heat have a much younger guy. I mean, the Bulls do have Zach, but the Heat have Bam. And then the Bulls don't have the shooting. They don't have like the development infrastructure. They do not have one of the best coaches, arguably of all time at this point, in Eric Spoelstra. And they just don't have the Miami allure. I know Chicago's a big market, but that really hasn't made a difference. So, like, they just way less room for error there if they're trying to follow this path. Leading into the Zach LaVine thing. Again, it does not seem like they're going to trade him, but you never know. There were some rumors. Maybe AK isn't actually a big fan of him. I don't know. They gave him the 5-year max, but that was always the right thing to do. Again, you can give the guy the max and trade him later. So if they're looking to trade him now, again, I'm not totally sure if they're going to, but I mean, I feel like if you're going to trade Zach, you probably need to trade everybody and just not. I feel like it'd be weird to like move forward with like DeMar and Fuch as like your two main core guys, I think, depending on what you're getting back for Zach. But assuming you are trading Zach to rebuild, I mean, again, I think you do have to look at whatever, some of the other star trades, whatever you think of Zach. I mean, he's probably not quite on the level of Donovan Mitchell. But like, again, we've talked about like the DeJounte Murray trade package, like at least that, multiple draft picks. You got to get like a promising young player in there. But the question is, I mean, what does I'm curious what the league views Zach as. Like, he is statistically just a great scorer. One of the most efficient scorers in the league, but like in terms of impact, it's never quite been there. Like his the on off stuff has like never really been that positive for him. We know he has the defensive stuff. He's gotten better, but he's still not great. He's not a great decision maker. Crunch time, like he can get crunch buckets, but like he's also, again, decision making is just, you can't totally trust him in crunch time. So like, what does a team value that when he's on a whatever $250 million contract? Are they willing to give up that much? Maybe they are. Again, if a team is close, maybe a team is like, hey, they get desperate and like, we have a bunch of draft capital here. We got some young players here. We'll throw you a giant Zach LaVine trade offer. If there is a giant Zach LaVine trade offer on the table, I think you have to think about it. And the Bulls just aren't in a position where they can't be like shooting down everything just because they want to run with this core. Like, you just can't be totally locked into this where you're not willing to pivot at all. Although it seems like they probably don't want to do this, but again, if someone puts some giant fucking Godfather offer on the table, you probably need to take it. I mean, you've talked about stuff. We've talked about the number 3 pick. We've talked about like if Orlando throws out their 2 lottery picks there, and maybe one or two of their young guys. Like that's certainly, I think, close to value, some good value for Zach. So yeah, I'm not like gung ho on trading him. I don't think they have to do it. Certainly wouldn't want to sell. I mean, at this point, you're probably selling decently high. He's got a ton of team control. He was very good the second half of the season. He basically won you the play-in game against the Raptors. Yes, he was very bad in the Heat game. But, I mean, it happens. Guys have bad games, which is very ill-timed. But he was very good the second half of the year. He looked healthy. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how the health holds up. But it's just a tough situation. I like Zach. He's gotten a lot better. He's helped at least kind of save the Jimmy trade from being a like total complete fucking debacle to just a debacle. So yeah, where are you? It seems like you are really talking yourself into like, they need to do this.
I just sort of think it might be the only way to really improve the team, because in addition to the Vooch extension coming down, you also have,
I mean, DeMar could be extended too.
The DeRozan extension. And like, what are they going to do with that? So I would be, you know, more in favor of trading DeRozan than LaVine. But I just don't see how they can keep running this back and thinking it's actually going to make them a team that can, you know, win a series, win 2 series in the playoffs. And if they were to trade Zach, I do think they'd be selling pretty high. Crazy. Can you believe we're sitting here at the end of the year talking about them selling high on Zach? Because the beginning of the season was so treacherous with his knee. He just did not look explosive. What, didn't he sit out the second game of the year for basically load management?
I think he missed the first game.
After he had the whole offseason off. So
he missed the first game of the year.
He ended the season pretty strong. Yeah, so
absolutely.
And really, he didn't just end the season strong. He was good from like December on, essentially. Yeah. So, yeah, I've just been thinking about like, you know, if you were to do a Zach LaVine trade, what do you want? Okay, so I want minimum 3 first round picks. Like, that's what I want. Just a lot of picks, because that's what they didn't get in the Jimmy trade. In the Jimmy trade, they did not net a single pick because they included the number 16 pick to get the Timberwolves number 7 pick, which ended up being Markkanen. And as I've been thinking about, you know, potentially a deal with Portland that could get you back number 3, I just don't think that's realistic. Yeah, but like, you know, trades like that, like, you're just not coming out ahead on a surplus of picks, especially because you're still down one with the DeRozan deal in 2025. Jace, it's all just so depressing. But at the end of the day, like, LaVine is a really good player. I don't think that he's a primary option on a good team. He's just not. We know this already. He's an off-ball
There's a lot of history on it now that he's
an off-ball guy, and he's a really good off-ball complementary player.
Yep.
Put it this way. If the Nuggets had LaVine in place of Jamal Murray, do you think the Nuggets are still this good? Probably not. I mean, they're different players, Murray and LaVine. Murray is a little bit more of a point guard than LaVine, though Murray mostly plays two guard. He plays two guard on the Canadian team. He played two guard at Kentucky. But yeah, it's just like, if they really want to like start.
I mean, coming into this year, though, like, would we have said, like, I mean, like putting like Murray and Zach together, obviously Murray had the ACL thing, but like, would you have said like Murray is that much better? I feel like we'd
no, not at all. If you would ask me at the All-Star break, who would you rather have, Murray or Zach? I probably would have taken Zach. But given the way Murray's played on the biggest stage, you got to just tip your cap to Murray. I mean, I've been someone who's doubted him a little bit from the time he was a prospect. That was my big concern with the Nuggets was, is Murray good enough to be the second best player on a
title? Proving yes.
Yeah, he's proven that he is. And basically, like, you face those doubts until you definitively answer the question. And the only thing that matters is the playoffs. And that's why when LaVine had the big game in the play-in tournament, it was like, holy shit, this is actually Zach LaVine's best game of his career, because there were real stakes attached to it. And the majority of Zach's career has been games played without any stakes. So I still believe that Zach could potentially be one of the better players on the next very good Bulls team. But fuck, man. I mean, we're just talking about them running back a super mid team. You still have two more years of Lonzo making $20 million a year because he's got a player option at the end of it. We'll see if maybe they get some sort of relief from the league if he does medically retire.
So I do wonder, this is another thing we were talking about was, there's the DPE, but we've mentioned how it might not want to use that in case they want to use the career ending, whatever relief exception that following year, so they can get the $20 million off. And then there's also the option of just straight up waiving him now and stretching him. It would be stretched, what, $40 million, however much is left over 5 years. Is that right? Or it'd be whatever. Yeah, right. Because there's $40 million left on his contract. And that'd be stretched over 5 years. Like, and so that would save you something. But like, again, I'm not totally sure about the rules. Like, can you do that and then get that career ending relief later? I'm not totally sure. There are some options there with them, which again, they have to do. Maybe they don't have to do anything with it. And we've talked again, if they think that he won't play again, they probably just shouldn't do the disabled player exception, because it would probably be the, Doug Tonis, our guy, was kind of explaining this recently, that like it probably would be better just like kind of say whatever with him this year, and then they get the $20 million off books the following year, and that would probably be more valuable because the team this year is probably just not going anywhere. But again, they could apply for the DP this year if they really wanted to and get 10 million. I think it's like 10 million to use. So and the Lonzo thing is just obviously such a huge issue with this roster right now. $20 million on the books for a guy that just can't play is just a killer. And for all the criticism we have given the front office, and a lot of it's warranted, like that situation going to hell is just brutal for where they're at. And they just need to figure out a way to pivot out of it. And I feel like just running it back is just not really the answer.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the one way they could run it back, Jace, is to just add several volume shooters around the mid three, which I love that nickname. Did Kevin come up with that nickname?
I can't remember.
Whoever did, it's genius.
Yeah.
So if you had a couple volume shooters, a few volume shooters, Jason, Steph said we need six. I loved that. I was like, well, realistically, you could add one or two. He's like, we need six. Okay.
Well, let's get like six. Three. Get Marco away. There's at least one spot. Volume shooter. Javante, I love Javante. But again, if you're going to have like Drummond, like Drones and whatever, Javante and Dalen, at least one or two of those guys probably shouldn't be here.
I think Javante and Jones both got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, like I said, I like Derek Jones, but like if you're going to have Drummond back, I just don't really know the point of having Jones there. I mean, and I guess he's your third center, but like, I'd rather
Derek Jones has got to go.
Yeah, I'd just rather have a shooter.
Yeah, he's got to go, and Javonte's got to go. I mean, the Bulls already ruined him. They ruined his knees.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, who knows what's going on health-wise with him?
It's going to be tough to bring back Pat. But the problem is they have no salary cap flexibility, and they won't go into the luxury.
Right. They need to be able to. We'll see what again. We'll see what happens with the Vooch, with Io. I mean, I almost think Io has to go too. And like, obviously, I'm an Io guy. I'm wearing my Illinois shirt right now. But like, Io just didn't show enough. Like, maybe if he comes back like real cheap, maybe. But like, again, just like the shooting thing, the shooting didn't develop. He's just not like a natural 3-point shooter. So like, for an end of bench guy, if they're going to keep most of the rotation, they just can't have all these energy guys who can't shoot. And if you have Dalen still there, Dalen would then kind of slot into Io's spot, I guess, as whatever energy guard who can't shoot. You just can't have too many of these guys. So they need to cycle out again. I don't know about six, but at least like three or four of these spots you need to replace with guys who can shoot the ball at least a little better and aren't afraid to take threes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the one path that I would be like, all right, if we're going to keep Zach and DeMar together, we're going to keep Caruso, we're going to keep Vooch, just surround them with shooters.
Yeah.
That would be okay. But can they realistically even do that? Because they have no salary cap flexibility.
Got to pay. No. They need to be willing to pay. If they're going, if like AK is going to sell them on whatever, we think this core is good enough to be good. We just need the right pieces around them. They have to be willing to pay, even if it's just like a little luxury tax. They need to be willing to use. They have the mid-level. They have the biannual. The apron is, I can't remember how high the apron is above the actual luxury tax itself, but they need to be willing to use it. But history says they won't.
Jace, he's got to make a trade. He hasn't made any trades since he built the team. Right. And that was something with Paxson too, that Paxson never made any trades. So he's got to make some trades. And I'm like worried, like, does Connor Chauvis even watch the rest of the league? Like, he sat out the last three transaction periods.
Yeah.
And then, like, what do you think DeRozan's getting is an extension? Because you look up the Bulls cap sheet and it really becomes obvious, like, how much of a bargain DeRozan is. DeRozan could basically be making almost twice as much money as he's actually making. While Levine's making $40 million this year, DeRozan's going to be making $27 million. He's going to get a hefty raise. And I would prefer to trade DeMar over Zach. Maybe DeMar's got some value too. I wouldn't mind trading both of them. But whatever they do, like once they lock in the raises for DeRozan and for Pat, like you are really tying yourself to a sub-mediocre team with zero flexibility and no young talent you can develop on the roster. And again, what I actually think the Bulls' mindset on this is that we are pretty close to accomplishing our pathetic goal of making the playoffs. So to us, let's re-sign DeMar. Let's lock in Pat. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded Pat. Maybe they're disappointed in him because he's been one guy who hasn't really met expectations, but you know, I wouldn't really want to trade Pat, even if you have to sign him to a $100 million contract. Like, he's the only forward on the roster. He proved to be a pretty good defensive player.
He's one of the few upside plays you have left right now.
Yeah. So I just don't really see what they can do, Jason, because DeRozan's going to get a big rate.
DeMar, I'm looking at something here that says DeMar is eligible for like a four-year 180. I'm seeing some different numbers here. I'm seeing 4-180. I'm seeing like 4-155. Either way, I mean, that's whatever, 40 plus million, around 40 million a year, something like that. Like, that's huge. And he's 33, 34. Like, if you're giving both DeMar and Zach 40 million a year, like, that's crazy. I mean, people are like going crazy over like the Celtics paying Tatum and Brown that much. But like, those guys have been in the conference finals five times and they've been in the finals once. Zach and DeMar have won one playoff game together. Like, and those guys are also both in their prime. DeMar is going to be 33, 34 years old. Like, paying him 40 some million is like, he's absolutely earned it. Like, I think you would absolutely be like worth that in a vacuum to a team, but maybe, I guess, actually probably not if we're looking forward, maybe like for the next couple of years, but I don't know how long, but like, he's earned it with his play. But in terms of like, yeah, future value there, that's just rough, especially for this Bulls team. So that's something that with Pat, you mentioned the $100 million contract, Keith Smith over at SpotRec or whatever had written, kind of was predicting
rookie extensions, and Pat is eligible for an extension on his rookie contract this year. And he said 5 years, $100 million, $20 million a year, which is like, that's sticker shock. Absolutely. For sure. And I totally forgot that with the new CBA that you can give non-max guys on the rookie extensions 5 years now. But what would you think, like 5 years, $100 million, that sounds like a lot for Pat, who has got better, still super young, but still like doesn't feel like he's enough of an impact guy overall. And like the box score stats aren't really there. The salary cap will be going up. And even like whatever, with DeMar extension too, like whatever, but the salary cap going up would help with that somewhat, with the cap going up a lot, with the new, whatever, new CBA, new TV deals, all that kind of stuff. So with like the Pat thing, like the $20 million a year thing, all of a sudden with the new cap goes up, it's more like whatever, 12 to 15 in like the current climate. So it wouldn't be, in terms of like percentage of the cap, not that horrible. So like the deal like sounds kind of fair. I'd be surprised if they did agree on something like that, I guess. I just don't know if he's shown enough, but I mean, I know this front office, so this was their first draft pick. They really believed in him. They kind of stretched to pick him. They haven't really included him in trade rumors, allegedly, or in trade talks. So it seems like they really like him. And since he is such like, whatever, again, one of their few sources of upside right now, I would be surprised if they trade him. So like, it will be interesting. That will be kind of fascinating to see how those extension talks go and if there is a deal there. So what do you think? Do you think 500 is ridiculous? Like no chance of doing that? Or like, sure. Like I think he could play into that if, as long as he plays for a long time and with the cap going up.
For how much again, Patrick Jason? Williams?
5 years, $100 million.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. 5 years, $100 million. It sounds like a ton of money for a guy who cannot score 15 points in a game. How many times did he do that this year? Like he just never has a big scoring game. Like his flashes are like a good play, not a good game. But I would still keep him locked in because he's got good tools. He's already solid defensively. He shoots a good percentage from three. If he could quicken his release, he could potentially be a good volume shooter. So yeah, 5 years, $100 million, sure. I'm more worried about what you're going to give DeRozan.
Yeah. I mean, no way you can give him that 4 year max extension, right? I've said I don't want to sink that kind of money in, but like,
no.
Maybe you give him like a 2 year one. But like 4 years for, again, a 33, 34.
They're not even going to be able to fill out the rest of the roster if they do that.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see. I don't know if they'll do it. I mean, again, he's earned a pay raise. It just like can't come from the Bulls. I feel like it just, I do think I am curious how his game will age. He is such like a master tactician with his footwork, but still like once the athleticism goes like a little bit, like you do wonder like, will he be able to create some of those advantages that he has? I mean, we've kind of seen Chris Paul now, like he's fallen off the last couple of years. He is also like 37 or 38. So DeMar's not quite there yet, but and like DeMar's game isn't totally built on athleticism, but like if you can't get to his advantages and can't get to his spots as well, and like can't rise and fire over defenders, like that's just going to make his tough shots tougher to hit moving forward. And that's what his game is like built around. So paying him whatever $40 million a year going forward long term just is not good. Like if they gave him a short term one, fine, I guess. But a lot of it's just kind of like whatever. It does see they seem just destined to kind of just like hang around 500, be an okay team, and then they're going to pray that they luck into something. And again, that's not the worst path to take because, again, tanking isn't always the answer. Tanking can often backfire. A lot of teams have been bad for a long time and kind of tank and they stay bad, and that's not fun either. So, like, I understand the desire to just kind of stick with something that's okay and like you hope you get better, but again, the fact that Vooch and DeMar are older is a problem here, and it's not like there's just not as much upside, and again the rest of the roster has been constructed so poorly that you have to at least do something different, at least start to show some more creativity, as you mentioned. Add the damn shooting. We know how important that is in the NBA today. You just can't keep doing nothing with this team. You just can't keep saying, oh, continuity is going to save us. Like, there's been a lot of talk about whatever the Nuggets and continuity. Yeah, they have Nikola Jokic, who's fucking the best player in the world. Jamal Murray, all like they've built their continuity through young draft picks who have grown with their organization. This Bulls continuity is nowhere close to that. They have older guys who are past their prime, and they don't really have much young talent that they're building. So like that continuity argument does not work for this Bulls team. Like they're just not going to get better because they've been together for a while. They have two guys, main core guys, on the back end of their careers. Like it doesn't work how like the Nuggets have, and even if you want to consider the Heat with some of their continuity, they still have better top level players. That's like, this doesn't really work, and just better coaching too. So like, I don't know, man.
Jason, we've just had this discussion 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing? We're just talking in circles.
Right.
Next time we do a podcast, let's actually talk about something that the Bulls did, whether it's going picking up a draft pick, or we have like some actual free agency, because we can just have the same discussion forever. We'll see what they do. They need to add shooting if they keep the mid three together. If not, break them up. Who cares? They're not that good anyway. Yeah. They just were totally healthy and led you to a 40-win season or whatever it was. So
we need some slop is what we need. I know we're going to be talking to our guy, Will Gottlieb, next week. We'll probably be talking about all this again, but with some new people as well. But give us some slop. We need some new, fresh slop in the next week that we can at least talk about. But yeah. Anyways, let's wrap it up here. Since I am bringing up the Heat and the Nuggets, we kind of talked about it at the start here, but it's been a pretty fun series so far. I know two of the games like haven't been that competitive, but the Heat winning game two at least made things way more interesting yesterday. And the game was good for a half until the Nuggets just kind of turned things on. And then we get Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, both getting triple doubles. Jokic first 30-20-10 game in finals history. I mean, these two guys just absolutely incredible. And even the game they lost, it took the Heat shooting 50% from three again. And the Heat have just been on a ridiculous heater. The only chance the Heat have to win games in the series, if they make whatever 15 to 23 pointers, that's basically their only chance. Even if like yesterday, Jimmy played pretty well, but they didn't shoot him, and he wasn't transcendent. And the Heat did not make threes, and they lost by 15. So, like, If they would have hit whatever 50% from three again, they would have been right there. But again, that's basically what it requires. We're just seeing how good the Nuggets are. The Nuggets lost by three in game two, despite the Heat being ridiculous from three and the Nuggets not playing quite their A game. I mean, they've gotten nothing from Michael Porter Jr. in this series, but Jokic has been so good. Murray's been so good that they are clearly the better team. I guess it wouldn't surprise me that much if the Heat did win game three or game four. But I would, again, Nuggets, I think, in six at the very most. It would surprise me if it won seven. I'd be shocked if the Heat won. They just aren't as good. And the Nuggets, I mean, Jokic will not be denied. The numbers he's putting up, absolutely ridiculous. And Murray, as we've mentioned as well, playing at such a high level, playing off Jokic. And Aaron Gordon's been playing pretty well. It just seems like it's their time. And you've been on them all playoffs. I was losing faith in them during the season when they were kind of dicking around, but it happens to these teams. They go through these stretches where they just don't give a shit, especially when they're like way on top of the conference. They go through lulls. It happens in the regular season. They've turned it on in these playoffs. They've been almost immaculate. The couple games they've lost again were like the Suns. They lost like one game to the Timberwolves. They lost two games to the Suns where KD and Booker, and they were transcendent. They lose this one crazy shooting game for the Heat in game two. We'll see if they lose any more. And they swept the Lakers. They looking like a well-oiled machine. Who do you think? Nuggets in five or Nuggets in six? You think the Heat win another game this series?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the Heat won game four. I wouldn't be shocked.
We still haven't gotten like a huge
really, it comes
game.
Down to Murray. Yeah. It comes down to Murray. If they can take away Murray.
It was game two. He was not great.
Yeah, he had 18 points on 15 shots, and then he was just electric in game three. So I think if they can take away Murray, that they definitely have a chance to win. Like, even in the first half yesterday, I felt like they were getting better shots than Denver. Like, they just always get such good shots, but then Denver hammered them in the third quarter, and from there it was a wrap. So I picked Nuggets in five originally. I think Nuggets in five is still on the table. I loved Malone said after the game, he's like, we didn't come here to win one game. We came here to win two. I thought that was a dope quote. And yeah, Denver, it's like, if you win game four, you should be feeling very good about your chances to win the championship. If not, if you lose game four, then, you know, maybe this series is going seven. So I don't know, like, probably Nuggets in six is the most likely outcome, that the Heat get one more when Murray just has a bad game. But man, Murray is like, that dude just has, he has just so much confidence and he's so courageous. And he's just, you know, you can't bet against him as a big time playoff.
The second quarter yesterday, even the Heat were like looking to make a run. Crowd was going crazy. Maybe they could have built themselves a little lead. Who knows if they would have won, but like Murray had answers for them multiple times in that second quarter when it looked like the Heat could have built some separation. And then, as you mentioned, third quarter, Nuggets just blow them out of the water, game over. Him stepping up to not match Jokic, but to be that legit number two guy next to Jokic. If he keeps doing it, they win the title. It's going to happen. And with the Heat, I just feel like Jimmy's just not quite himself. So if he was, I still don't think they would win the series, but I would feel a bit better about them maybe pushing it. It just doesn't seem like he's himself, like finishing. We know that he had the ankle injury in the second game, and like we know he was ridiculous against the Bucks, and he's still been pretty good overall. He's had some great games. He's been pretty good, but like the shooting efficiency has been down. His finishing has been down. He just hasn't quite been like transcendent Jimmy in a bit now. And it just seemed, I would guess the ankle has been really limiting him and his pop and his athleticism and all that. I know like he's not like a super athlete, but we know how much he uses like his strength and just like he probably needs that lower body, just like the pounding that he takes. So like if he's not all there with that ankle, not being able to score around the rim as much, not being able to get to the free throw line as much, it's such a huge part of his game. Like that's not there for him. The Heat just aren't nearly as good. And especially, again, not hitting threes either. And Bam has been awesome, generally awesome, but he was only 7-21 yesterday. Again, so many missed baskets around or missed shots around the rim. There's been so much talk about whatever the Nuggets defense, are they going to be good enough? Can Jokic
kind of anchor their defense, and like it's been totally fine for the most part. The Heat have done next to nothing or in the paint and around the basket, so they've held up pretty good there. And again, I think do think some of that is just Jimmy not quite being himself. Bam always kind of has these games where he just boffs a lot, bunch of layups. We've seen against the Bulls too, but yeah, and the Nuggets are just better. Like there's really no shame. The Heat are an 8 seed. The Nuggets are a 1 seed. They were one of the best teams all year outside of a few lulls. They have the best player in the world, best player in the series, clearly. So like no shame here. I hope the Heat win at least another game, just to at least make things more interesting. We obviously would love to see more games and some more pressure filled games, but it does seem like, again, it's the Nuggets time for Joker to finally get that first one. And it'll be a good story, fun story for him. Finally get number one, for Murray to come back from his injuries to win that first, his title as well. And be the Nuggets first championship of all time. This is their first time they're in the NBA finals. To get there and to win it all for first in franchise history, it'd be a great story. It'd be really cool. And they've had a lot of Michael Malone. You mentioned his soundbite. He's had great soundbites all playoffs. He's a real feisty guy, that Michael Malone. So great story with the Nuggets. They are certainly not boring. And the TV ratings have actually been pretty good. Not that we care about that shit, but they've actually been pretty good. So at least it's nice to see that narrative kind of get shut in the ass too. So we'll see. Game four is tomorrow night, Friday night. Basically Heat playing to save their season. We'll see what kind of performance they put forth. Maybe we do get a transcendent game, one last transcendent Jimmy game. I'd love to see it, but not really counting on it, so we'll see. But Rick, you got anything else? We wrap it up.
I think we wrap it up.
All right, that's gonna do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. As the NBA finals and the season wraps up, tons of great coverage has been all over this network all season. Obviously that will continue going into the off season when slop season really picks up. We get with the draft and with free agency, it's always a fun time to talk. Tons of great coverage will be all across the network. And of course, all the other great podcasts, non-NBA podcasts all across the network as well. For us here at Cash, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Follow Ricky at @SB_Ricky. And also shout out to ClutchPoints.com, SBNation.com. Please go check out all the great coverage, sports coverage there, NBA and otherwise. So that'll do it for us here in this episode of Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.